the truth is actually words do inspire. Words do help people get involved. Words do help members.
Welcome. Today I will be interviewing Mr. Bob Papadopoulos. He is a teacher at Nelson High School. He teaches American history, ancient history, and world issues. Please discuss the significance of teaching American history, ancient history, and world issues to students today.
Well, first of all, thank you for taking the time and having me interview here today. I think this is a great opportunity to maybe see what happens in schools nowadays, and in specifically in high schools. But pertaining to your question on those subject areas, I think overall, looking to learn aspects of history and geography in general have become such a critical part of the complex world that we live in. You know, studying the past to understand the present and then to understand the future is so critical. So that's sort of my angle and my goal whenever these courses are being taught by me. And that's sort of, I understand that students are very content about the final result in that sense. So the idea, again, is to understand the past, or to understand the present is to understand the past so we can move into the future. So that's my goal. And that's the significance behind teaching those courses.
What approach do you use in order to engage student involvement in world issues?
It has to be tangible. And I think the most important thing is if you are analyzing an issue, is to maybe focus on a current event that's happening now. And that way it's tangible to the students. That way they understand it for its significance again. And then relate it to past events as well. And that way it becomes even more tangible. So that's really the essence behind it all. I mean, it's not just a knowledge-based component to it, but it's making things tangible so therefore they can understand the real-world view of everything that's around them.
What are some of the challenges associated with discussing international relations and affairs?
I think a lot of it has to do with partisan and political sort of angles in all this. As you know very well, that whenever you're dealing with international relations, there's always a political angle. And sort of you want to ensure that you nurture balanced perspectives on all these issues as much as you can. And, of course, you know very well that this becomes pretty complicated when decisions have to be made on a particular issue. So that's, I find, is very complex, even though we try to encourage a just society, a just approach. I know those can be pretty complicated whenever politics get blended in with these particular issues and biases as well.
That's true. In terms of youth involvement, what programs should be further established in order to encourage active participation?
Well, I'll mention one that is already established that's quite good, and then maybe add a few others to it as well, but actively now, MOL UN organizations and events have really taken off as of late and recently. Even here in Burlington as well, there's a UN conference that's often held in the city of Burlington. I'm sure you may know about that. And that's become more widespread the last few years. And MOL UN conferences held in Toronto and Montreal that I've taken students to as well has become more widespread. I think beyond that, I think what needs to happen from there is now within schools to nurture more and more of these sort of conscious global sort of organizations that can nurture the interest among students more so. That's probably something more on the grassroots level to happen within schools is probably something that needs to be done more so. How much government involvement's in that, that's of course is debatable to nurture that as well.
What are some of the most crucial lessons taught by you in your world issues class?
I think what I try to do, and I think if I read the question right, I think overall what I try to do with my world issues class specifically is to illustrate to students the history behind how we got to where we are right now. Okay, and that's so critical, I think. I mean, we look at current situations that are happening around the world, but to understand the history behind where we are now is something I want them to understand. This whole cause and effect component, that's so important to understand overall. And that's something that I really sort of focus on quite a bit.
In today's world, what would you say are the top three issues of concern pertaining to international relations and affairs?
I think conflict resolution is a big one. I mean, you know, we look at how the UN functions today, and of course, the UN's functionings today have been heavily criticized, past and present, and how they've had to deal with conflict resolution. That's a big one. I think the other one, of course, is an ongoing, again, it's politicized, but of course it is climate change. And of course, what we need to do politically with that and to take the political will in resolving that is another major issue. And then I think the other part that's a growing problem is disparity of wealth around the world, of those that have and those that do not, of first world and developing world sort of issues that happen with that.
In terms of climate change, what policies do you feel should be implemented in order to improve the ongoing issues?
If you're looking at like a political decision,
political decision.
See, this goes back to my original comment about political biases and so on. And you know, and you're right. And this is where again in a classroom, it's a pretty delicate sort of balance you try to take when discussing such sensitive issues, because you know your biases can affect a student's viewpoint, and you don't want to do that as a teacher. You want to nurture their own viewpoints. But that's the goal I try to sort of achieve whenever talking about these delicate issues. But I think they're going back to your question. If you wanted an answer to that, it's this whole idea of evidence-based policymaking, and I think that's what's so critical. So, in a knowledge-based economy we have right now, that where we have a very highly educated, you know, youth and bureaucracy, even evidence-based policymaking is critical.
Overall, what improvements should be implemented in order to enhance the learning of students?
I think flexibility is a big one. I've always sort of trumpeted that quite a bit. Flexibility in how you approach things is critical, and to make it fluid as much as we can, because it's a changing world, especially given the sort of the topics and subject areas that we have here. The one thing that's changed a lot, too, is access to technology, and that's been an important one, too. I mean, that's sort of an ongoing thing, and that has really changed the game quite a bit. Whenever you're now dealing with the current event, if you're covering in a world issues class, it's just very simple now to have a computer, a laptop, a phone, a smartphone to access the information immediately, and that's been a game changer. So that's an ongoing sort of change as well.
In terms of advancements in technology and in terms of social media, do you think the implementation of social media is done so effectively pertaining to world issues, international affairs, politics? What is your view about using social media in that regard?
It's a great tool. There's no denying that. It's instant information. I sort of made the connection the other day of when I did a lesson, not the other day, I should say, but last month, where, you know, 15, 14 years ago when 9/11 happened, where, you know, social media didn't exist when 9/11 occurred. Imagine the level of awareness that would have happened when that event occurred. Now when something happens, it's immediate. And that's so critically important. And not only that, but it's the sharing of information as well that didn't exist before. And that's a critical part of it, when studying world issues now, that's been a game changer.
A few interesting quotes that I saw in our exchange over email consists of the following. To educate a man in mind and not in morals is to educate a menace to society. And that was by
Theodore Roosevelt, yes.
Right. Yeah. And all who have meditated on the art of governing mankind have been convinced that the fate of empires depends on the education of the youth.
Yeah. You know, Aristotle. two very different individuals in different time periods, but they had the same idea overall. And I think when you look at these quotes, I think when you look at these carefully, and the answer is pretty simple. First of all, when you talk about, you know, mind and morals, we want a well-rounded individual to understand issues, to understand problems from a wide range of perspectives. I think there was just a recent study done now saying how important, you know, the arts are in society, and how important studying the arts are in a well-rounded individual. And that's becoming more of a valued skill for employers, because you do have well-rounded people who tend to be better problem solvers.
Okay, right, that's very
and,
true.
And that's so critically important now. So, you know, this is we have the most educated We are in terms of the level of education of our youth, there's never been a time period in history where we've seen this before. And I think we have to continue to nurture that.
What advice can you provide to students interested in perhaps pursuing a career in the field of world studies?
First, give it a chance, because I think young people immediately sort of tune out when we talk about world studies, because I think there's like a political component to it that they don't understand. And, you know, I think that's just human nature. When you come across something that you don't know, you sort of just shut it out. And I think they have to first give it a chance. And once that chance is given, then to sort of, from there, try and delve into taking a course beyond grade 10. Because in high school nowadays, really, their exposure to anything remotely close to that is limited to grade 10 history. Then from there, you have no more access to it. So there is limitations in that sense. But nowadays, being connected the way they are to social media, give it a chance that way as well. That might spur some interest in it too. I think that's a critical part to that. And once they get over that hump, I think everything sort of trickles from there.
I agree with you. I think it's very important for today's youth to give it a chance, to give it a try. Unless you try something, you don't know whether you will like it or not.
Right.
Another question I wanted to ask you consists of the following. Most Canadian provinces have mandated that a course in civics, geography, history, politics be mandatory for grade 9 to 10 students. Yet while a course in Canadian and world issues is offered to senior high school students, it's strictly optional. Students at that level usually start giving more thought to what they'll study at university or even to what career paths they'll potentially consider. Mm-hmm. Is it a problem that grade 11 to 12 students aren't provided with an international perspective at this critical juncture in their professional development? In addition, should world issues training be mandatory for senior high school students in Canada?
See, the previous question just sort of led us segue to this question here. And I think it goes back to what I said about this before. You look at it overall, whenever there's options are created amongst these courses, whether it's geography, history, world issues, and so on, the way things have been prescribed in the past has been that these courses have been put on the back burner. And this happened because of course, politically they saw the focus was necessary in the sciences and the technical sort of courses and so on. And so what happened was these other classes like geography, history, and so on were put on the back burner. And that was sort of the way the understanding was. But see, now this goes full circle when we look at the complexity of the world now. That, you know, your last question here in terms of, you know, is something like a world issues course should be mandatory? You could do something with that. I think that could be something that, you know, the powers that be need to carefully re-examine. Because, you know, as much as they trumpet foreign relations and in a globalized world, you have to sort of begin to do that. That understanding has to come in the grassroots, the youth that we have around us. So, yeah, that's something that needs to be re-examined carefully.
Absolutely. I agree with you. And I think talking about it potentially can help in terms of possibly making it a mandatory course in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Papadopoulos, thank you so much for your time and for taking the time out of your busy schedule to meet with me. I greatly appreciate this.
Thank you for the opportunity. This is wonderful. And I'm going to, again, as a teacher in high school, do all I can to try and promote the needs for understanding the complex world that we live in right now. And I'm glad organizations like your own exist and sort of promote that as well. So thank you.
Thank you.
Maybe you could be a mayor or a senator or a Supreme Court justice. You ready? But you might not know that until you join student government or the debate team. And no matter what you want to do with your life, I guarantee that you'll need an education degree. Let's go. What you make of your education will decide nothing less than the future of this country.